This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 10. We continue to look at the life of Solomon. And Solomon, his reputation had gone all over the world, the then known world, as far not only his wealth, but also his wisdom. And people were coming, kings were coming from all over just to hear and sit under and hear his wisdom when it came to dealing with issues and problems and sharing how to deal with manners of life and just how to live. Because God had given him great wisdom, he gave him what Solomon asked for. Well, one of the people that heard about it is referred to as the Queen of Sheba. Now, Sheba was a country that was quite a ways away from Israel. And Sheba is where Yemen is today. It's in the south, western corner of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. And if you, had a map, which I didn't put one up here, but, Sheba would be at the very point just about of the southwestern point where the Gulf of, Aden is, and it is just that little swing around where the Gulf is, and it comes into the Red Sea. Sheba came all the way from there up to Jerusalem, and the only reason she did was to see Solomon. And so let's begin as we look at this account and see what Sheba is. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones, which she was come to Solomon. She commanded with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and their cupbearer, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in him. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes have seen it all. I've seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and of precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, and just to pause here, Ophir was really right across the Red Sea and the Gulf from Sheba, and there were gold mines there. And so the navy of Solomon brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalters for the singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand what transpired here and help us to understand the importance of looking at Solomon and how he was living his life at this time. And Father, how that all of the wisdom that he had was being used properly at this time. And Lord, help us to see the impact it made, not only in the Queen of Sheba, but all those around him. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very interesting as you look at this, and we're going to get into some of the things that he gave, that were brought to him, not only by the Queen of Sheba, but also by Hiram through Solomon's navy that Hiram had built. Remember, Solomon had two navies. One was in the Mediterranean Sea, and one was in the Red Sea. And Solomon had this navy, and Hiram was using, and they brought up the gifts, or the materials from Ophir across the bay, or the Gulf of Aden, from Sheba. But let's take a look at the Queen of Sheba, first of all. The indications are the Queen of Sheba came, and she had a little bit, sounds like she had a little bit of an attitude. She was going to prove this guy wrong. Nobody could be like this man, because she was going to come with questions, and these were not going to be easy questions. In our day and age, they're talking about how the politicians, all they get is softballs thrown to them. That is, they're soft and easy questions that are easy to hit. If you ever played any type of baseball and softball, you know that softballs are a lot easier to hit than a hardball or a baseball. And even if you're playing fast pitch softball, it's a little easier to hit than a baseball unless you've got a really good pitcher. But the thing is, a softball is easy to hit, and it's easy. So a softball question would be one that's really easy to answer. She didn't come with easy questions. It says specifically she came with hard questions. She wanted to know, is this man really who people say he is? And I'm going to find out with the questions I ask. And the questions she was going to ask dealt with the wisdom that people said Solomon possessed. Now, as she comes, she brings a whole bunch of offerings to give to Solomon, but I don't think she was necessarily going to give them to him unless he answered the questions. And she comes, and that's the first thing she does. She comes before him, and we see that in verse 2, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And what was in her heart? We find that in verse 1 where it says she came to prove him with hard questions. So those were the things that were in her heart. And she wasn't going to let anything slide by. She wanted to know answers to these things. And Solomon told her all her questions, and there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. In other words, Solomon was open and honest with her. He didn't tell her what she wanted to hear necessarily. He told her what was true. And this is something that's totally different from politicians of today. They want to tell you what you want to hear, not necessarily what is true. And so they want to appease you and make you happy that you came to ask them these things. That was not Solomon. He came, and she came with hard questions, and he wanted to give her the answers. And so he answered her every question and hid nothing from her. In other words, he told her exactly the answer she needed to hear for whatever specific question she had with problems of her life, with problems of her kingdom, with things that were happening in the world, with God, with Solomon's kingdom. Whatever the questions were, he gave her the answers. And he gave her honest answers to these hard questions. It's one of the things that you see that we need to be ready and willing to do with people that have hard questions. We need to be able to give them answers and not hide anything from them. I remember a number of years ago, I was listening to a tape that had been made by, just lost the name,
But he is speaker for Answers in Genesis, and he was talking to a young boy, and the young boy was talking about the fact that there are no absolutes, and that how can you say that you want to establish something that I need to live by if I don't want to believe it? I should have the right to choose whatever I want to choose. It's Ken Ham that was doing the interview. And Ken Ham made the following statement to the young boy. He said, okay, that's fair. He said, well, you know what? I think that I should be able to have you killed. And the young boy said, well, you can't do that. And Ken Ham said, well, why not? You just got done saying I should be able to do whatever I want to do. It was a hard question, but Ken Ham was going to give him an answer that was really true. He was going to show him that there is, you have to live your life by absolutes, and everybody does. There is a point in our life where we have to believe something is absolutely true, and the truth is found in God's character. What Ken Ham was showing him is that all life is valuable, and Ken Ham had no right to take his life any more than this boy had the right to say, I'm only going to live the way I want to live, and nobody can tell me how to live my life. Well, that is giving the real answer to the question that there are absolutes, and it doesn't matter what we think. That's what that Solomon did for the Queen of Sheba. He did not hide anything from her. He didn't try to appease her, but he gave her all of these questions. Well, one of the things it did is the response that we see that the Queen of Sheba had to him. It was in verse 4, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, and if you jump down a little later, it says in verse 6, and she said to the king, it was true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom, howbeit I believed not the words till I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, half was not told me, thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. And it says that she had nothing else to say. She couldn't say, had more and more questions. And the thing is, a lot of times people have questions and they think that there aren't answers to them, but there are in God's wisdom. Now, one of the things I want you to see is what not only the questions that he answered, but the observations she made of Solomon's house. Now, Solomon's house at this time was different than Solomon's house would be at the end of his towards the end of his life. At this time, Solomon's house was filled with servants who loved to be in servants of Solomon, because they got to hear his wisdom continually during the day. How do we know that? By what she observed and what's recorded for us. She went and she ate at his tables. And when she was eating at his table, she saw the following. And she saw the meat of his tables and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his scent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. When she saw all of this, she knew that it was all true. It wasn't just something he was putting on as some act, but she saw it was real because it was evidenced before her in the spirit of this, you're going to have to prove this to me. You're going to have to show this to me, and I've got these hard questions. That spirit was removed from her. Why? Part of it, she saw the response of the people around Solomon to him. She also saw the amount of his wealth, that hadn't been a lie. But also, I want you to see that she saw the way that Solomon went up to the house of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It's the way that he revered the Lord and went up to the house of the Lord with reverence for God in his heart. All of these things were observations that she made as she had come and was staying in the house of Solomon and was his guest during this time. And these observations, says, revealed so much more than she could have ever dreamed could have been possible And it showed that what had been told her of what was going on in the kingdom of Israel under Solomon paled in comparison to the reality of it. Do people see that in our life? Do they see when they hear that, oh, so-and-so became a Christian, and then they see the difference in our life? This morning we were talking about what it meant to be a believer in Christ and what Jesus had done in our life, how that He brought us from darkness to life, gave us life when we had been spiritually dead, and the transformation that should have occurred in the life of a person who came from darkness to life. But if there should be great evidence in the transformation of our character when people come and see us with our attitudes, our actions, the way that people respond to us, and they should be able to see the great difference in us. Just as she saw a difference in Solomon from what she had perceived would be what she would view. Do people see in our lives a difference that reflects God's character? And do they see how we treat people? Do they see how we respond to people? Do they see how we honor and respect the Lord? One of the things that I thought was very interesting was the way she observed, as I mentioned earlier, how Solomon went up to the house of the Lord. She observed that and saw something when Solomon did that. And I believe it was the way he revered the Lord. Do people see in our lives the way that we revere Christ and revere the Lord? Sadly to say, later on, Solomon would not show that same reverence to God. And it's really sad, as we're going to get later on, into the impact that had on Solomon's life. Well, continuing on, it says, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came." And some people don't want to believe that Jesus is the one who can redeem us until they come and begin to see. One of the things that in reading and listening to testimonies sometimes of Jewish people who have come to Christ, or Muslims that have come to Christ, or unbelievers that have come to Christ, one of the things is they didn't really believe until all of a sudden they saw the difference in Christians' lives. For example, one of the things that oftentimes people will see that are Jewish is the fact that true Christians love and care for the Jews. And they've been told their whole life that Christians have wanted to kill the Jews. Because their view oftentimes of Christian has been the Catholic Church and during World War II, what Adolf Hitler viewed as the fact that the Jews needed to be killed, and they viewed Adolf Hitler as Christian because of some of his ties to various churches. And so consequently, those lies have been spewed within various Jewish lives. And when they see the true love that is there because of Jesus in the hearts of believers towards Jews, it transforms their lives. And they see that it's real. When Muslims who have been raised in a whole attitude that's one that shows no mercy, that shows no forgiveness, that shows no love, and all of a sudden they see the mercy and love and forgiveness that's within the Christian's life, it makes an impact and can make an impact on their lives. That is what happened to the Queen of Sheba. She said, I didn't believe it, but when I came and saw it, now I believe it, and behold, half was not told to me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard. And so Solomon was walking, and the wisdom was not his wisdom, it was God's wisdom. Because he had sought for the wisdom of the Lord, and that is the wisdom that he showed to the Queen of Sheba. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. And so she's saying, you know, she sees that there's joy there. There's not a reluctant servant. There's not a bedraggled servant. There's not someone who's doing it because they're forced to do it. They're not feeling forced to serve, but rather they're happy because they get to be in Solomon's presence and hear this wisdom, and they can grow in wisdom themselves. And so we see that this whole attitude that she's seeing in the temple of Solomon, and Solomon's house, and also all around where that she's seeing his servants, is one of joy and happiness at the wisdom of God. Blessed be the Lord thy God. And we want to see the heart change in her. It changes from one where she's going to come with hard questions to prove. And another thing that she could have come to prove is, God really exists. Who is this God of the Israelites? Because I want you to know that the Queen of Sheba would have come from a part of the world that didn't necessarily believe in God at that time. That is where many of the tribes of the other tribes that were of the other sons of Abraham had gone and settled. And they also, as we see from other places in the Old Testament, didn't worship the true God, but had incorporated false worship amongst them. And now she came and sees that this is true. And so she inquires and says, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel." And it's interesting, she sees an equation of God's love for Israel and the wisdom that Solomon possesses, and the fact that he is king over Israel, and what a blessing that is, that his wisdom can be dispensed upon Israel, and that that's a blessing from the Lord. And all of this is brought into her mind as she sees what has happened before her when she's come to Israel. "He loved Israel forever. Therefore made he the king to do judgment and justice." I want you to see one of the things there. She says judgment and justice. She doesn't say prosperity, but she says that he brings judgment and justice. And in many, even of the countries in the Middle East then, as that were not following God, there wasn't judgment and justice. Things were done not necessarily because they were right, but because they were expedient. And it was ways of controlling people. Solomon ruled by judgment and justice, which were tied intrinsically to God's character and truth, which was evidenced by his wisdom. And so we see here that judgment and justice is what she saw that he ruled by, which was something that she marveled at. And she gave the king, and then she brought and gave him the gifts that she had brought. 120 talents of gold. Now, lest we think that that's just a little bit of gold, 120 talents of gold is about 144 ounces. 144 ounces today would be worth approximately $2,300 an ounce. So if you put, you're talking over, way over $1 billion worth of gold that she brought to Solomon. This is an amazing gift. And not only that, it says that she brought other things that, as well, spices in very great store and precious stones, which it doesn't tell us what they are, but they were precious stones as well. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which are the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And spices were highly treasured in the Middle East. They were used for a number of things. They were used for preservation. They were used for just the aroma. They were used for cooking. They were used for all kinds of daily life. And the spices were very, being highly treasured, also were very costly, some of them. And she brought more spices than anyone had ever brought. And so these are the gifts that she gave to him. But it didn't stop there. It talks about what else happened. So she left, and then it says the navy also of Hiram brought gold from Ophir, and brought in from Ophir great plenty of almond trees and precious stones. And so we see that this was a part of the world where there was a lot of gold, and there was a lot of precious stones. Ophir, like I mentioned, is right across from Sheba on the continent of Africa. And Solomon had gold mines in Africa, and mined gold there as well. Now, what about these trees? What's so special about the almug tree? Well, the almug tree was a tree that was used specifically. One of the uses was built musical instruments. You built musical instruments out of this tree, the wood of this tree, and it gave them a sound that was unlike any other sound. And we see that the almond trees, when they brought them in, that's one of the uses that Solomon put this wood to, is to bring musical instruments. And he used these musical instruments for worship of the Lord. And we know that Solomon wrote over 1,000 songs. We don't have, in the Psalms, we don't have Psalms of Solomon like we have the Psalms of David or the Songs of David, his father. But he wrote over 1,000 songs, and some of these songs can be found in the Song of Solomon. And the Song of Solomon is referred to as one of the titles that's given to that book in the Bible, is the Song of Songs. And that is, part of that is contained with some of the songs that Solomon wrote in that particular book. And these would have been played upon these instruments that were constructed out of these trees. He also used these trees to add to the temple some additional pillars in the front of the temple made out of this wood. And so we see that that was done. And as we get into Wednesday night, we're going to be looking at the wealth of Solomon, and you're going to see what he used some of this gold for. And it's just amazing as you look at the amount of wealth he has. But I want you to see that Solomon, at this point in his life, was using the wisdom of the Lord properly. He was using the wisdom of the Lord in a manner which made people around him amazed and happy. It transformed lives, as it transformed the life of the Queen of Sheba. She came with hard questions, and she left speechless. She could give no answers that had not been given by Solomon. And so we see that there was a transformation in her life and heart by what Solomon shared about not only the wisdom of God, but God himself, I believe. And so we see that Solomon was doing God's will at this point in his life. We're going to see the transformation begins to occur in the last half of this book when we begin to look at his wealth. But let's just close here in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this afternoon, we thank you for giving us a look into the life of Solomon's interaction with the Queen of Sheba. And may we learn from it how we are to respond to people that come to us with hard questions. And really, a hard question is to disprove the wisdom that you've given to us in reference to Jesus and salvation and who you are and the answers of life. And Lord, you've given and revealed to us, even as you had Solomon, answers to life that the world does not have. And Lord, help us to give straight answers and to not beat around the bush or be ashamed, but to proclaim the truth as you have laid it on our hearts. Lord, now just go with us and give us opportunities to share the gospel in the week ahead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 633.